My name is Amy Connolly. I'm CEO and founder of Sculpted by Amy. We are an Irish cosmetic brand.
You started out as a makeup artist, working your way up in that sense. If we can go back to that and the amount of training that's involved in building that career initially.
Of course. So I started just before I was 16 in the world of makeup. I always say I had a kind of funny beginning in the sense that I went the backward approach to things. So I didn't study makeup to be in makeup. I was very lucky that I completed my 2 weeks work experience in transition year in benefit. And, you know, by nature on counters, it's half makeup, half selling skills. So I obviously sold, you know, anything to anyone essentially, because I was so eager on counter that they then offered me a job part-time in Urban Decay, which was in the one department store in House of Fraser at the time. So I worked there every Saturday and Sunday through school. So for 3 years, then went on to MAC in Grafton Street. And again, I was kind of out of the norm there in the sense that I hadn't studied, but I had built up my knowledge of makeup through experience and like really tangible experience of dealing with customers, you know, putting bits in their face and stuff. Like, so training that you don't really get just from being in a college, it's like the extra side of things as well. But I actually did go back and study makeup separately because I was doing an academy where we offer qualified certificates to those who want to become makeup artists. So I got to do like an expedited course, but I also completed my training certificate and my assessor certificate. And this was kind of all the while when I had started my degree. So I did a 4-year degree in commerce and French. So nothing to do with the makeup side of things, but I was really lucky that I had started makeup part-time through my school, kept it up through college, was given such amazing access to loads of different factors within the industry in terms of like writing, beauty, editorial, you know, fashion, weddings, covered literally every part. So I got a taste for each. So then when I graduated after 4 years, I didn't consider but anything else than to just go and work for myself full time.
You wasted no time from your 2 weeks of work experience to becoming your own independent self. And even through your degree, you were still working for yourself, though.
Yeah. So I always say that my true journey of starting to work for myself started when I was 19. So I only stayed in MAC on counter for a year. And even at that, I was only there part time because I was obviously a full time student during those years as well. So for me, there was no decision to be made when I was graduating at 22 and I was watching my peers, you know, fill out the graduate schemes and the programs available. I didn't even consider the fact that I would go and work in a corporation. The real decision for me was what element of business I would be mixing into my then 6 years of experience in makeup. And that's essentially where I merged the two and developed the brand.
When you say you never really considered anything else but to do your own thing and work for yourself, if someone's listening and they haven't gone down that route, they've always been an employee, but they're thinking, okay, I want to pursue this. Can you give us an idea of some of the main pros and cons of being your own boss?
Okay, how long do we have? So I think for me, I am probably one of those unusual concepts where I've never come from company. So I suppose sometimes now that the team is growing and I'm like, you know, a boss to X amount of people and you've got all this responsibility and you're supposed to know how to people manage when actually no one teaches you that. You're so focused on the product at the beginning. All these new areas of kind of, you know, both positives, but some challenges as well arise as you grow a business, because, you know, you have to be looking after far more than what you would have considered at the very beginning. So sometimes I think, God, was that a negative that I hadn't come from a workforce area where I was able to learn and take little snippets from how people would have managed? But then sometimes I also flip that on the side and say, I was kind of like a neutral canvas. I was coming into this, you know, promoting the culture that I would have personally as my own person of what I wanted to get back from my staff. And thankfully, we have a really, really good team who are very supportive and collaborative, etc. I think when you work in a company, I can imagine anyway that the security of having your paycheck is probably the biggest hurdle that people have to get over to go out on their own. And I fully respect that. Like I often say, I was a college student. I had, you know, heavily invested in myself and I was very lucky that I built up capital. But obviously if there was more risk involved when having to take a significant loan, for example, that obviously is scary. But I think everything boils down to the fact that you back yourself and you go with your gut. And the biggest thing for me outside of having a knowledge to do something is having a passion for it. And that sounds like such a cliche, But if you're really passionate, you will not stop. You'll believe in yourself. You'll find the answers. Like, sure, I hadn't a clue for half of what was ahead of me and just kind of learned as I went and made a load of mistakes at the same time. But it's great because I can nearly write a book at this stage on all the happenings that has gone on.
And I think one will come down the line and there will be very many interested in it. That initial step of making your first order. Because I'm thinking, not that there's detractors, but there might be people in your life, friends and family, that are concerned, oh, is she doing the right thing? How did you manage that? Or if that was that an element at all?
So there wasn't such an element of, oh, is she doing the right thing? I think everyone knew that I was quite ambitious at that stage. You know, I had built even my own freelance business into something a little bit bigger, you know, as time went on and growing into different areas. So I think people were happy in the sense that they knew the challenge I was taking on, that I was going to be able to do it. But it was obviously a challenge for me to know where to start. So I had kind of researched various manufacturers and ended up partnering with a company in the UK. And I think the biggest thing for people, whether you're going into a service or a product, is looking at the factors. So I had to look at things like regulations. So making sure it was EU appropriate. Obviously, the big B word, Brexit, hadn't been around at that stage, so it was all fine. So various elements like that, when you're so new to a world like I was in the manufacturing side of things, like I didn't have a partner, I didn't have an investor. It was literally me on Google going, where can I manufacture this product? And then it would take me to them. So obviously I got a lot of no's. You know, I was this product and I really believe myself, and some people were just like, no, you're wasting my time. I don't know what volumes you can sell. You've no benchmarks, you've no credibility. And then this one particular company took a chance on me.
Okay, so that moment where you're like, okay, I have this initial step and I've got there. Just to go back to what you said about Brexit, actually, that wasn't a factor when you started out. Something like that, that's so completely out of your control. And I'm sure it's just one of many things that are out of your control when you're dealing with the business. How do you go about handling something like that? That you're like, I didn't create this, but now I have to deal with it.
Yeah, do you know what? They're really, really good learnings as you go. Don't get me wrong, they're huge challenges. And to be honest, I feel like ever since COVID arrived, it has been nothing but out of our control challenges along the way. So we've had obviously a pandemic that we're all still navigating through. We've had Brexit happen, and we've also had massive, massive freight global wide issues of like delays in the Suez Canal for sea shipping and all these things. So it's like the whole world has just lost its mind and we just have to navigate through it. So for something like Brexit, we would have done like kind of a planning to kind of know how it's going to impact us. So we were growing our UK customer base, and we knew very, very kind of early on when Brexit was definitely impending for, say, Christmas time or just beyond that, that customers were going to be impacted. And UK customers, I suppose, trust in ordering from someone outside of the UK was going to be impacted due to like the service, et cetera. So we've actually taken a different tact, and we have gotten a local fulfillment center and local agencies over there to actually nearly have a subset business, because UK is a massive area of growth for us. It's one that we're consistently nurturing as an external market. And it just wasn't, yeah, Brexit just kind of ruined all our plans of how everything was going swimmingly well. And then we just had to change tack. But that's it. You just have to change tack and learn from it. And I think one of the best things from being a young company is that you're seriously agile. So we can literally switch it on in 24 hours, no problem, and go find the answers, versus having, you know, this chain of command of 25 people that we have to sign things off on.
Middle management after middle management after middle management after middle management, and no decision ever gets made. Meetings about meetings. Amy, for inspiring entrepreneurs that look at you and go, wow, look at her success. This is absolutely amazing. And they don't know how to take their own first step, whether that is selling a product, seeking out something, working with overseas companies, product manufacturers. What is your recommended start point or advice to those people?
I think the biggest thing for me is know what you want to do. And that sounds really basic, but I mean, like, look at your product, look at your service, look what you're seeking out. And know, like, do a spider web, know exactly what this is meant to be. If you were, you know, I always say to our team, even nowadays, and we're 4-5 years into business, if we had someone coming by who didn't speak our language, didn't know what we were, do they capture the essence of what we are in that one snapshot? So I think to know your idea inside and out, because you won't be able to execute it with the right suppliers until you know exactly what you want. And I think I was probably guilty of this at the very beginning. I delved into a brand. You know, I called it Sculpted by Amy because the first product was a sculpting kit. I had no intention of doing more products beyond this. I was like, this is going to be a great product and this is going to be my life and happy days. And then sure, it all evolved and it obviously worked out. But had I done more planning at the beginning, and I know hindsight's a great thing, it could have been a bit different. So it's not that I have a regret, but it's one of the biggest things for me that I think nowadays everything is so instant. You know, everything's online. There's so many options for people that you need to know your own thought inside and out, both to brief suppliers and how to execute it, but also in terms of your consumers of how to involve them or hopefully make it desirable for them to purchase or use a service or whatever it is.
So many wise words there for people starting out. To sum it up then, from all your years of experience, what you've learned over the years, could you sum up in one sentence what you would see as your best career advice?
Okay, the one that I often say the most, and it's probably starting on a negative note, but the biggest thing for me in terms of how to manage the obstacle course that has been business to date is that issues and challenges are always going to arise. It's just a non-negotiable. And even when you think things are good to be true, they most likely are too good to be true. Something is going to happen. So it's all about how you manage that. So to me, it's about being solution focused. And again, that sounds like a cliche, but I really mean it. So when, you know, issues happen or, you know, we're all nearly in tears about something that's gone wrong, it's like, don't dwell on what's gone wrong. Try if you can't, pull yourself out of it, think of the solution and work towards it. Because there's always, always, always a way out of it, even if you have to cry for 24 hours and then think about the solution after.
Acceptance. Accept it and move on. One final question before we go. Are you proud of your achievements?
Do you know what? When you were saying there how people think, oh, this success, amazing. Don't get me wrong. I am really proud of the team, really proud of the growth. But I think one of the biggest negatives when you are an ambitious entrepreneur, business driver, whatever it is you maybe don't appreciate the wins or the success as much as others. And that's both a curse and a benefit, because the benefit is it keeps driving me on, because I'm like, what? Sure, we haven't done this, this and this and this yet. So it pushes me to do it. But then sometimes I do think, you know, even for the sake, like I said, of the team growing now, that I maybe do need to step back and say, wow, isn't that amazing? Even though my head might be already gone on to the next challenge and I'm skipping ahead. So yeah, I think there's a bit of both. But to be honest, even prior to the business, I was always like that in school. I set massive, massive expectations on myself through study, through college, through my freelance business, and then it's the brand. So it's just something that's in me, but I'm definitely getting better at celebrating the successes.
Yeah, look, you could call it a negative, but it probably makes you the person who you are. It's a bit like when people give out about Messi being so short of a footballer, but that makes him who he is. He's probably, the height adds to his footballing ability. So positives and negatives.
Yeah. I'd like to pitch myself on the same level as Messi, actually. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, would you? I think that's a good comparison to end today on. Messi, Amy Conley.
iRadio in the afternoon. With Dave and Tanura. Hey! iRadio in the afternoon.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 on iRadio.